Well, I want to look at today a few methods, I guess you could call it, five or six methods that we obtain healing by. These may sound foundational, but I like foundational. I do, because it keeps, it's what Brother Hagin said, the reason people are not as effective in their faith is because they reject or they dismiss the watering process. It's not that we don't sit and listen to the word, but it's that which we continually listen to and we are watered. Our hearts are watered. The Spirit of God will take that which we hear and water that which has been planted. And we are excited about it. So let's take a look. I want to look at this first method. Let's go over to John chapter 14, and let's look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Gospel of John. And let's look at verse 12, starting in verse 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And so I want to look at this and this first method or first way of receiving healing is using the name of Jesus. So we could just focus on that. When we look at this, we're not demanding in the name of Jesus of the Father, we're demanding our rights. We're saying, you know, we're requiring or demanding of our rights because of the redemptive work of Christ. And so let's go over. So here it says here, what does it say? If we do what? If we ask anything in my name or in the name of Jesus, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he reiterates it again. He says it again. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I will do it. So let's back up to Mark 16. And there's other scriptures that bear out John 14, you know, there's John 15, but we'll get to that. So let's look at Mark 16. Mark 16, and as he was about to leave them and ascend to heaven, starting in verse 15, it said, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that what? Believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." What does the next three words say? In my name shall they cast out devils. And the thought continues. We have a semicolon. And you could say, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. And you continue in 18. In my name shall they take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And you can continue. And it says, you could say, in my name they shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So you can see here what's the thing that precedes all of these signs is doing something in what? In his name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we can see here that using the name of Jesus is a right, a redemptive right that we've been given. I'm going to continue on that. But you can see also, just as a side note, when Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 1, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may what? Know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he did what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church. So he gave us the use of his name. And the mere fact that him authorizing us, when you look at Matthew 28, in verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and so forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So he authorized us and gave us his name. To do what? To preach the gospel, make disciples. And it said these signs should follow them that do what? Believe. And then the next three words are, in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. So we can see here that this is the first method or way is using the name of Jesus. And going back to Mark 16, this would be the second way, you could say, of receiving healing is the laying on of hands, which would really be borne out in Mark 16. So receiving healing, he said here, not only is it in the use of the name of Jesus, but it says, in my name they shall what? Lay hands on the sick and they might recover. It says, no, they shall recover. So when we think about the laying on of hands, it is the power of God that's in us. And so when we lay hands upon the sick, you may sense something or you may not. There may be a manifestation and there may not. But the key is that he instructed us to lay hands upon the sick, and it says here, they shall recover. So it doesn't matter whether you sense anything or not. He didn't say, if you sense something, they shall be healed. It didn't say that. It said, go in obedience, lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. I like the way Doug Jones used that example. He said, you know, these plants here that we have, you know, these Easter, I guess they call them Easter lilies or whatever they call them. They have a bunch of different names, but when they get dry, they just lay down. And plants do that, even outside. If they don't get enough water, they just droop. Now, what do you do? It'd be like you. You're not feeling good. You're drooping, right? Well, you lay hands on the sick, it's the same way. When you take a little water, even these plants here, they'll just lay down. I mean, if they don't get water, they just lay flat on the canister. You put a little water in it, and it says they shall recover. Yes. Now, they don't do it instantly, but if you put about 8 ounces of water in there or 6 ounces of water in that big plant, tomorrow morning that thing will be perked right up. Leaves are standing up straight. What did it do? It shall recover. Sometimes it's instant. Most times it's not. It's like the lepers. What did it say? As they went, they were healed. So we just need to do what? Lay hands on the sick, make sure people understand that this is a redemptive benefit available to who? Not just the church, but it says lay hands on the sick. It didn't say lay hands on the saved who were sick. It said lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, right? Sometimes people think, well, you know, they're not saved, so, you know, no. God's word says he reigns or shines, he blesses the just and the unjust, right? If that weren't the case, he'd only shine on us with this earth, and the rest of you, you're stuck, right? He's a good God. Amen. So this says here, they that believe shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now let's turn over to James. We mentioned this scripture. Let's turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And let's look at verse 13. It says in verse 5, it says in verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And remember what we were talking about here? Brother Hagin was saying in his entry for August 15th and 14th, he said, prayer alone won't save you. Prayer alone won't heal you. What does this say here? And the prayer of what? Faith. It didn't say, and prayer will save the sick. It says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent, in some translations say heartfelt, prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. I like some of the other translations. Let me just see here. I have some here. But let me just pull this out here. It says here, this is a different, excuse me. Let me flip over here. Yeah, that's the Amplified. It says, the Amplified says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The Weymouth translation says, the heartfelt supplication of a righteous man exerts a mighty influence. The translator's translation, it says, the good man's prayer is very powerful because God is at work in it. I like that. The authentic translation says, the heartfelt petition of an upright man has great force. The New Life translation, it says, the prayer from the heart. This is talking about faith now, right? The prayer from the heart of a man right with God has much power. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? Praise God. So that particular method, or we could say the first method, was what? Using the name of Jesus. And the second method way was laying on of hands. These are different methods of receiving healing, methods of healing. Using the name of Jesus, the laying on of hands. And here's the other thing. It's not just laying hands on someone else. You lay hands on yourself. A lot of times people don't realize that. I did that years ago. I'm have an infirmity, and I just laid hands on that infirmity on my body, and I just released that, released a prayer of faith. That is a way also. And this third way is calling for the elders of the church. And you might say, I mean, this is not a negative comment or statement, but it is usually a way that people need others. There's a sense of people need others to pray for them. You see what I'm saying? In other words, rather than praying for yourself and receiving by faith, you need someone else to pray for you. So it could infer, I'm not saying it does, but it could infer this might be a baby Christian. Could be. Not saying it would be, but it could be. Right? Somebody who's got to have somebody else pray for them. And that's okay. I mean, we all were there at one point in our life. We had others pray for us. Right? But as we grow in faith and we grow in the Word of God, that may not become necessary. Usually doesn't. Here's another way. Let's go over to John 15. We were referencing this before in John 14, but let's go over to John 15. And these are familiar scriptures on the name of Jesus. So the other was using the name of Jesus. And the inference there was that you're not asking the Father. This is what we're pointing out here. You're not asking the Father in the name of Jesus. You're just using the name of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying here? John 14, let's go back again. It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see the difference here? John 14, and now look at John 15. It says, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So here we're asking the Father in the name of Jesus. This would be another way of receiving healing. The other is you're demanding of this symptom, you leave my body in the name of Jesus. You see, you're using the name of Jesus. You're enforcing the redemptive promises, you're enforcing that in my body. I say, I demand my body to be healed in the name of Jesus. Because when we talk about faith, you're using the name of Jesus in faith. Amen. Right? Now here, in this case, you're asking the Father in the name of Jesus. Here, this is saying, let me back up at the beginning of 16. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now let's go to the next chapter, in chapter 16, and verse 23 and 24. And it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. And this word again, ask, is the same word ask in chapter 14 and 15. It means to demand or require. So you're not demanding it of God. You're requiring, or you're putting a demand upon the promises of God. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, who? The Father, in my name, he will give it you. Right? He will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we can see here, this is another way of receiving healing, that you're asking the Father in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. He said, ask the Father in my name. See, and just to go back again and look at verse 14, using the name of Jesus, it says, and whatsoever you shall ask or demand in my name, that will I do, this is Jesus said, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See? This over here is saying you ask the Father in his name, he will give it to you. Does everybody see the difference? So we're using the name of Jesus in both applications. One, we're using the name of Jesus in faith, and Jesus says, I'll do it. The other is we're asking the Father in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at the next method, you could say. I feel like I'm moving too fast. Let's go over to Matthew 18. You know what's interesting? We can read scripture, and I know Mark Hankins uses, you know, some great analogies, but he said, you can steal information, but you can't steal revelation. He said, if you were given revelation from God, you were given access to it. So he said, you can't hack God's revelation. You were given access to it. The Spirit of God revealed that to you. See? So I like, last week, Pastor Marvin Yoder, funny, you know, another Amish, you know, person, former Amish. And he shared some things which I think are interesting. And he said, you know, there were some areas that he needed some growth in his area, in his life. He needed some growth in some area, like we all do. And he said he wasn't satisfied where he was. And he began to listen. He said, now I'm not going to tell you what I listened to, because he said that's something God put in my heart to listen to. He said, you find what you need and you find the right resources and you listen to the Word of God. And he said, I listened to this particular message. He said, I counted over the years, he didn't say months, he said years that I listened to it. He said it was over 100 times. And he said, even when I got, is the term he used, I got sick and tired of listening to it. And he said, I realized if you're sick and tired of listening to it, you ain't got it yet. And that's what he came to the conclusion. He said, if you're tired of listening to this, you don't have it yet. So you need to keep listening. And he said, finally, I pushed past that, kept listening, and he said, things began to dawn upon me in these areas of his life that he needed a change, you see. And so, you know, his point was that we need to continually feed and listen to the Word of God if we want to see improvement in our lives. And that goes with healing, that goes with your faith life, that goes with your love walk. Whatever area you need improvement in, you need to take something and feed upon it until you get it. Because just reading it and saying, yeah, I can quote that verse, no, that's not something literally becoming a part of you. I was sharing something up in Pennsylvania, and I may share some of it Sunday, but when you're in faith, faith puts no pressure on people. If you're in faith, faith puts no pressure on people. What does that mean? That means, you know how wives do with their husbands or husbands do with their wives. What are you going to do about this? And they put a little pressure on each other because what are you going to do about this? And they'll say it, or he'll say it, or she'll say it in such a way to put some oomph in that statement. What are you going to do about this? And you go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to do anything about this. God is. I heard Brother Hagin say something. It was really funny. He said he made this comment about pressure and concern. He said it was a time in his life when he said his wife hadn't gotten the revelation of this yet. And she said to him as they were going through the front door of the house, you know, I bet you if we dropped dead right here on this stoop, he said, you wouldn't even be concerned about it. And she, I guess, said it with some oomph. And he said, well, no, I wouldn't be. He said, because you'd be gone. And he said, that didn't go over too well. Because she hadn't gotten the revelation of that. That, no, I'm not going to get concerned about it. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't have feelings about it, but why would I get concerned about someone that has left their body and gone to heaven? And he said later in her life, she got the revelation of that. She got the reality of that truth. He walked in it. You'd heard him pray sometimes. He'd say, Lord, I'm concerned about this, but I'm not going to concern myself about it because you got it. And that's the same thing. We have to get to the place where, you know, when we're talking about the healing that comes in our body, we cannot let concern about something that attacks our body, we can't let us consume us, because then it'll do what? It'll erode our faith. Yes. It'll erode you using the name of Jesus. I'm so concerned about this. And your mind gets absorbed in the symptom. And you begin to forget what work was accomplished. And you forget that it was done. I mean, I know for me, you know, when we talk about listening to something, I remember when I was, not long after I was saved, you know, I began to, I don't know why, it was just something in me, I gravitated towards the use of the words and healing. For some reason, I did. That was just me. And so I said, well, this word's either going to work or it doesn't work. And so I remember I had a very high fever. Have no idea what the symptoms were. I don't know. It was just something. And so I was in bed, and I wasn't feeling too good. And I'm working here in the ministry. And so, you know, I went as far as I could go, and then I couldn't make it in. And so I decided at this time, I'm going to get a tape. I had a cassette tape. I had a lot of cassette tapes, still do, of Brother Hagin's teaching. And I took one on healing. And I kept listening to that. Now, a cassette tape, you know, would play and you hear click. Flip it over, play it, click. This went on for 24 hours. And I kept listening, and I kept listening, and I kept listening, and I kept listening. And I'd doze off, and I'd wake up, and I didn't hear the tape, flip it over, keep playing it, keep playing it, keep playing it, keep playing it. And so I decided, well, you know, this was after a couple of days. I said, well, maybe I should call the doctor. And I didn't really want to, because I believed I received. And there was some stirring in me. So I called the doctor and I make an appointment. No, I don't have anything today, tomorrow. Okay, fine. So I kept listening to this tape over about 2-3 days. And I kept listening and kept listening and kept listening. And I'm laying in my bed, and it felt like an eruption happening right here, like almost like a spiritual eruption. You know what I mean? It wasn't an upset stomach. It was the Holy Ghost. It was listening to this word for 2 or 3 days constantly, and my spirit erupted, and I just felt it coming up, and I jumped out of bed and pointed and spoke in tongues. That's what I did. I just spoke in tongues, and I knew I had it. I knew I had it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I had it. And I didn't feel any better. Still felt, you know, just as bad as I did. But here's what I did. I was so convinced I had it. I'm telling you, you couldn't have beat it out of me because of that. It came right up out of here and I spoke in tongues. It was like a sword that came out of me. And I kept listening and kept listening till that came. I was so convinced, I jumped up, I got out of bed, made my way, dragged myself into the shower, took a shower, got dressed, and got into work here. That's how convinced I was. And I called the doctor. I said, thank you very much. I don't need you. And because it had depleted my strength so much, I really couldn't sit in my chair here for more than 15, 20 minutes because it had weakened me. But I had it. I had it. And over the next day or so, they shall recover. And that's what happened. I recovered. I recovered. I recovered. No, it wasn't instant. But when you're convinced you have something, what do? You get up and put you. It's like Brother Hagin when he was convinced that he had it, what happened? The Holy Ghost said to him, well, people are up at this time of the day. And he said, what did he do? He threw his paralyzed leg over the edge of the bed and the other one and held himself up and slid down the bedpost. And he said, when he did that, what happened? The healing power of God hit him from the top of the head to the soles of his feet. So you've got to keep listening. That's what that just ministered, because sometimes we listen to something once, twice, 3, 4, 10 times. You've got to keep listening to something until the word is revealed to your spirit and it dawns on your spirit. And you got to keep listening. Sometimes, I must admit, I'll unhook before I got enough. And I'm going back. I said, no, we're going to spend more time listening to something in an area where you want to grow and improve. So this here, we're talking about asking the Father in the name of Jesus. So we're over let's go over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And verses 18, 19, and 20. This would be this fourth method. So what was the first method? We're using the name of Jesus. And then the second method was the laying on of hands. And the third method was what? Call the elders of the church, right? James 5. And then this fourth method is asking the Father in the name of Jesus. And this fifth method is the prayer of agreement. So this is fifth method here. And it says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever, again, that this could be healing, right? Or it's not healing, sickness. Whatsoever you bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven. And whatsoever you loose or allow on earth, as some translations say, shall be loosed or allowed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall do what? Agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, this is Jesus saying, there am I in the midst of them. So he's in the midst in that agreement to seal his agreement with ours. So we can see here, if we touch and agree, that's why you would hear Brother Hagin say so often, what are you believing for? What scripture are you standing on? And he'd say, I can't agree with you on that. I'm not going to pray for you on that. Because, number one, it was not scriptural. So I can't agree with you. But here, he'd always say, if he did pray with them, he'd say, okay, what scripture are you standing on? Okay, I'm believing. And when I pray, when we get done praying, he said, I'm going to ask you whether you received or not. And he'd always ask them, do you believe you received? And some would say, well, I sure hope so. And he'd say, well, you didn't. You're not going to receive that way. This said here, you agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. This doesn't say instant, does it? Shall means what? Future. It shall be done. Amen. So this here is talking about the prayer of agreement and that Jesus, when we do, he's gathered to, and when we're two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So where two or three are united and asking and demanding in Jesus' name, the healing for someone, you know, if we're agreeing for a loved one or for themselves, that prayer has to come to pass. It's bound to be answered based on the scripture. And we can continue. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves and, so often Brother Hagin would say this, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest. What does he mean? He said, you can't stop thoughts from coming, but you can certainly prevent them from staying. How do you prevent them from staying? It's 1 inch below your nose, which your mouth. You know, I used this little example. You know, you can't think, I may share it Sunday, but you can't think on your problem and speak about something and talk at the same time. If you're talking, you can't be thinking about your problem. You can't do both at the same time. You're either going to think on your problem or you're going to talk. You're not sure about that. Let me use this little example. In your mind, I want you to count from 1 to 25. You don't have to start now. I'll tell you when to start. And you count 1, 2, 3, not out loud, but in your mind. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then I'm going to ask you to make a confession while you're counting. And I'm going to have you make a confession out loud. But I don't want you to stop counting. Everybody up for that? Okay, here we go. You can start. Now say this, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Okay, what number are you on? You can't do it. You had to stop. That's my point. That if you're thinking on something negative and you're weighed down with all of the problems of the world, start confessing and speaking the word of God. God has designed us so that we can deal with these things, these thoughts that come in our mind. What does it say in Philemon? It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. We've got to begin to not do, we need to do what 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. We believe and therefore we speak. So we need to just realize that when we talk about the prayer of agreement, I guess that was my point, that if thoughts come, you need to remind God, thank you, Father, on this date. I believe we were in agreement. I prayed the prayer of agreement, and I have it. And you keep doing that. It didn't say the thoughts might stop, but you keep saying what the word of God is, what you just did. You prayed a prayer of agreement, and it shall come to pass. Don't get disconnected from your faith by what you're thinking. See? Everybody understand that? He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. And this last method, I guess you could say is, you know, I don't know if it's the best way. It's a way. But it's like the centurion, right? Just accepting God's word and thanking him, not actually praying. You just accept the finished work of God and you thank him that it's done, that it's working in my body. I know Mrs. Hagen, when she talked about it, she said she fell on her spine or the tailbone and was in a lot of pain. She said more pain than you can even imagine, worse than childbirth. And she said, her husband said, honey, I want you to just say this. Say that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. And she said, all right. And she said, I'd say that. If I said it 100 times, I'd say it 1,000 times a day. And she kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. And she said, I'd like to say the pain left, but you said it wasn't until maybe 3 months it started to subside. So you've got to stick with it. She didn't say I had people pray with me, or she didn't say I prayed in prayer and agreement with my husband. She said, I spoke the word of God to this situation. You see, this is what we're talking about here. So Isaiah 53, in verse 3, 4, and 5, it said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs, that word is sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, that word is pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And you could say this is looking back, not back, but forward to the cross. This was not done yet. So you can see here, this was a prophetic word given by Isaiah. It was looking towards the cross. So what is this saying here? He was smitten of God with our diseases and our sicknesses. And what does it say? By his stripes, we are healed. And then 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So now that's looking back at the cross. One was looking forward to the cross, hadn't been done yet. By his stripes you are healed. And this is saying here, by his stripes ye were healed. It's looking back at the cross. So this here is reflecting on what? The finished work of the redemption, the cross. So these scriptures here prove that healing is ours, and it was already done. And we can, you know, look at these scriptures and know from the truth of them that healing is ours, and by his stripes we were healed. And we can accept that word and thank God that it's done. It's done in our lives. So in this case, someone might say, this is a method, but just accept that. No need to pray. You accept the truth of God's word. You say, thank you, Father. The word is, I accept your word, and I receive it, and I believe it's at work in me now. The healing power of God is at work in me now. This would be a method, and thank God for it. Just thank the Father for it. Hallelujah. So that would be, this would be another method. What does that mean? We don't have to bear sickness. It's already been borne. He bore, he was smitten of God. He bore our sicknesses. He bore them. So this last method is just accepting the truth of God's word and refusing to allow sickness and disease in our body. Now that may not be where we are initially. Maybe you need the prayer of faith from the elders. That's okay. God has made all of these methods or ways available to the church so that they can walk in this divine truth, right? And health. But we may want to grow in that and not always be dependent upon the prayer of faith, and may God may move you along to grow in this area so that you can apply these other methods, right? Other ways of receiving healing. And Brother Hagin would always say it. This is one way, right? He'd always say that when he was ministering. This is one way, not the only way. This is one way that God heals, right? The laying on of hands, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of faith. These are one way that God heals. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is good. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we've received and been watered and nourished. And Father, we thank you that as we meditate upon it, just as you said in your word in Joshua 1:8, let not this book of the law depart out of our mouths, but we're to meditate upon it day and night and observe to do, and that we may prosper in our lives. And so, Father, as we let not the word of healing depart out of our mouths, and as we meditate upon it and act upon it, we shall walk in health and divine healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.